Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Danfoss, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Public Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and Crescent and Cross will join me at right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, for an hour of conversation in regard to Mark's book, Dealing with Israel, No Beauty in the Beast, and also talking about a series of other things that have been going on in the news in these last few days. He'll also help me to examine some of the guests that I've had on in the last week, some of the good things that they've said, as well as some things that maybe Mark and I might take a slightly different slant upon. But nonetheless, he'll be with us at right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. I have some good news for those of you who are really interested in this Middle Eastern situation as it pertains to Palestine. Elon Popp, who is the author of The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, which Terry Arnold has termed the best book ever written on the subject, we'll be on this show on Monday. We came to a deal on this just today, as a matter of fact. We've been trying to figure out some dates with Elon, and he has indicated that he's available Monday. So we're going to shoot for that on Monday, an interview with him and a discussion of his book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. I've been doing a lot of reading on this subject in recent days, and there are a number of things we'll be talking about with Mark Glenn later on this morning as it relates to things Middle Eastern. But to have Elon Popp on this show is a very, very good and important development, and I hope that you will enjoy him when he comes on the show on Monday, because there's so much to examine with this in regard to historical information that has routinely been kept out of the American news media and kept out of the American educational system. And yet at the same time, it's important to have this information presented to us from a responsible source, which Elon certainly is. He's considered by many people to probably be the leading academician in the world on this whole period of time and history. And again, he'll be with us on Monday. Number of things that we could talk about today, up to and including the whole situation with the hate crimes bill. Folks, this thing passed the House of Representatives on Thursday, and it did so by a 237 to 180 vote. It will provide $10 million over the next 2 years to aid in local prosecutions. The interesting thing, of course, is that a similar bill has been introduced in the Senate, but no date has yet been set for a vote. Mr. Bush has threatened to veto a bill passed this bill, and this is something that we underscore is where we stand with George Bush and need to say it when he happens to do something right. As my old friend Dan New used to say, even a blind squirrel stumbles upon an acorn every now and then. If Mr. Bush is serious about vetoing this hate crimes bill, he's doing something right. And even though we have plenty to be concerned about when it comes to George W. Bush, when he happens to do something or threatens to do something that's correct, we'll stand behind him on that. If he vetoes this hate crimes bill, it would mark the third veto of his presidency. You know, it's very interesting to look back over the course of the last 6 or 7 years and to see that Mr. Bush has had very little to do with vetoes, should have had a lot more to do with vetoes, as well as avoiding some things himself that were as bad or worse than what the Congress was doing. But if he does cast a third veto in this situation, it will be a good decision. We'll have to watch it in the days ahead. You know, as you look at this whole business of hate crimes, we've talked about it many times before in the show, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, is the key player behind the pushing of this hate crimes legislation, along with its sister organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center. And in fact, what it will do is it will criminalize certain forms of behavior that should be covered under the First Amendment of the United States. It seems to me, for example, that if one is... We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back to chat about hate crimes bill legislation and also talk about a series of other things going on in the news when we come back. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press will join us at 9 o'clock Central. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine-tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra-long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
This is Mark Hancock's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Public Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press joined us at right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. We'll be talking about Mark's book of several years ago, No Beauty and the Beast, as well as a series of other things that relate to things Middle Eastern and domestic. So that'll be Mark Glenn of the American Free Press coming on at right around 9 o'clock Central. The hate crimes bill did pass the House of Representatives yesterday by a 237 to 180 vote. Check out where your congressman or congresswoman voted on this, because that's a very key ideological litmus test for everyone in the United States Congress. We have to hope that this thing, of course, can be killed in the Senate. That's where the battle now moves. And, of course, Mr. Bush has indicated that he will veto this legislation. I don't care for George W. Bush, of course, for a lot of very good reasons when it comes to being an America First type guy. I am disgusted by the Israeli lobby. I'm disgusted by the neocons. I'm disgusted by the fact that Mr. Bush has expanded the federal government more than any president since Lyndon Johnson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
But when he happens to do something right or threatens to do something right, even when he's stumbling upon it, we need to admit that. And if he does veto this legislation, he's threatened to do it. If he does, it will be one of the few good things that will come out of the Bush administration. So let's keep an eye on this whole thing. And as it starts winding its way through the United States Senate, we need to do everything that we can with our U.S. senators here in Texas and elsewhere, depending upon where you're listening to this broadcast, to have a sword run through this thing while we can still do it. If it does reach the president's desk, that's where he then must exercise his veto pen. Let's hope that it won't come to that, that in fact we can get this thing killed in the United States Senate for a series of reasons that should be quite obvious to those who've been following the issue at all. This is very grim stuff because, first of all, there is no need for this legislation. You know, it seems to me that there should be no discussion in this country of crime in the context of the race or background or intent of perpetrators or victims. Crimes are crimes. And if, for example, you have someone who is guilty of murder, I don't care what the gender or sexual orientation or race is, or the specific motive is of the person who kills. He or she is a murderer. I also don't care about the demographics of the victim. I don't care whether the victim is a homosexual or a heterosexual. I don't care whether he is a Jewish person or a Muslim or a Christian or nothing at all in regard to religious affiliation. I don't care what the color of his or her skin is or what the gender happens to be or what the socioeconomic data sheet happens to be on that particular person. If they're a victim of crime, they're a victim of crime, and the persons who perpetrated the crime should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. That's why this federal hate crimes bill, for openers, is a very, very dangerous concept. The notion that certain people, as perpetrators and victims, that the status that they enjoy in regard to certain categories should elevate or de-elevate the importance of the crime committed is absolute nonsense. That's the first thing that needs to be said. And the second thing, of course, is that when you really get into this hate bill, as Ted Pike has been telling us at the National Prayer Network, there is so much to this that goes beyond first inspection. We see here a movement to curtail legitimate free speech. The notion, for example, that a Christian pastor who is preaching a sermon on Romans chapter 1 from his pulpit, which deals with the Apostle Paul's take and presumably the Holy Spirit's take on homosexuality and other sexual perversions, is someone who is committing a hate crime, who is inciting hatred, who is involved in dangerous speech, is an absurd concept. It's a dangerous concept. It's an unconstitutional concept. And yet when you look at this hate crimes legislation and the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center who stand behind it, it is clear that there is an attempt here to criminalize certain forms of thought and certain forms of speech that quite clearly are protected by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. And when we see who and what it is that they're attempting to protect with this so-called legislation, the ideologically leftist orientation of the whole thing becomes abundantly clear. Ted Pike has sent me, of course, an update on this today. It's entitled "The Power of Hate Bill Protest." He seems to see a silver lining in this, by the way. As I read through this morning, I think you'll catch on to it. Ted says that today, referring to yesterday, our House of Representatives passed the federal hate crime bill. You may wonder in frustration, what's the use? I called for hours protesting H.R. 1592. It made no difference. But our protests have made an enormous difference. This morning, spirited Republicans, and Ted, by that, is referring to Lamar Smith, Howard Kobel, Tom Feeney, Steve King, Mike Pence, Louie Gohmert, Mary Fallon, Tom Price, and Bob Goodlatte, powerfully informed the House and viewing world of hate law's fallacy and threat to free speech. The hate bill never before faced such passionate opposition in Congress. The feisty response is a direct result of your calls. You told our leaders you stand behind them now and will remain so at elections if they fight hate crime laws. No, we didn't defeat the hate bill today. I knew we wouldn't. But losing a battle doesn't mean losing the war. The ruckus erupting from the religious and political right against hate crime legislation is reverberating clear to the White House. President Bush today warned Congress he will veto the hate bill. His threat dramatically vindicates every message sent by tens of thousands of concerned Americans since January. The Iraq War has crippled the religious right, especially its congressional leaders and President Bush. Advised by neoconservative Israel firsters, Bush ignored George Washington's warning to beware of foreign entanglements and the counsel of General Douglas MacArthur to never become involved in a Mideast military conflict. Instead, America was committed to an unjust Mideast war for one real reason, to make the region safe for Israel. Has America been blessed by such military adventurism on behalf of the Jews? No, it has been cursed. Although Democrats also voted for war 4 years ago, they now play the anti-war card and blame our ongoing entanglement solely on Bush and Christian conservative leadership. Due to public reaction against the war, midterm elections took power from Republicans to favor Democrat control of state and federal legislative bodies. Democrats now have increased power to legislatively victimize Christianity and conservatism, stripping America of freedom and moving us toward a new world order. The Democrats are relentless. Earlier this week, Representative Marty Meehan, Democrat, Massachusetts, introduced into the House new legislation even more crushing to Christian conservative activists than Levin and Lieberman's Section 220, which was defeated in January. The hate crimes bill in the Senate judiciary is being modified in ways that will undoubtedly make it even more threatening. How do we respond? Retreat into a shell of fatalism and inactivity? No. We must call even more intensively, especially to Republicans. Every call to a Republican impacts the White House, increasing Mr. Bush's responsibility to his party and the will of the people. Earlier this year, the American Family Association polled its 3 million subscribers about whether they thought Bush would veto the federal hate bill. A clearly disenchanted 70% reported skepticism. Bush may now see his veto of this pro-homosexual legislation as a way to win back millions of conservative Americans. We must generate still more protest over the Democrat threat to freedom in Congress. The bigger the controversy, the greater the chance that Bush will veto the hate bill and also new grassroots smothering legislation, the sinister Department of Peace bill, and the soon-to-be-introduced Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA. Get discouraged and quit now? Unthinkable. We're building a national fighting machine, an increasingly outraged and astonished electorate that I believe is only beginning to realize its power. The weakness of evil is that it becomes too aggressive, wanting too much too fast. Democrats' misbehavior and mockery of the people's will is fuel for our movement that could even potentially deprive them of the White House in 2008. Move over, Democrats. A really new right is awakening. That's Ted Pike today at the National Prayer Network, the conservative Christian watchdog organization that has been in the forefront, of course, of dealing with this hate crimes legislation, which has now passed the House in the version of 1592. There are various versions apparently that are being worked upon in the Senate. Keep an eye on what's going on in the Senate Judiciary Committee, where Pastor Pike tells us that there are some things being done, particularly by Mr. Mahan of Massachusetts, that would make the Senate version even worse than the House version. Suffice it to say that we need to kill this thing in the United States Senate. We need to be in touch with our senators and ask them, insist of them, that they get rid of this thing right now. But if it doesn't happen, if it passes, and if there is a reconciliation between the House and Senate versions, and if it's sent to Mr. Bush for signature, then the buck stops with him in terms of vetoing this terrible, terrible legislation that will fundamentally continue the course in regard to altering the character of America. This is a threat to free speech. This is an attempt to criminalize legitimate speech and criticism of certain groups in this country that the ADL once elevated to being above and beyond First Amendment criticism. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press will join me at 9 o'clock. Stay tuned.
is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Summer is once again just around the corner, and as usual, so are higher gas prices. This year, stop taking it on the chin and start fighting back. Ethos FR, a product tested and found worthy by NBC and Fox News, can save you up to 19% on fuel and reduce emissions by up to 30%. Unlike other products and gadgets you've seen advertised, Ethos FR attacks the source of the problem, unburned fuel. You see, exhaust is essentially unburned fuel that's expelled from your tailpipe. That equates to toxins being released into the environment and dollars being released from your wallet. But with Ethos FR, fuel burns more completely, helping your engine to deliver better mileage and helping you to save money. And it's so easy to use. Simply pour a couple of ounces into your tank at every fill-up, and you're on your way to saving money and the environment. So, do yourself and the environment a favor and visit ctsavegas.com to get your bottle today. That's ctsavegas.com.
This is Mark Danpops, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll have Mark Glenn of the American Free Press with us this morning at right around 9 o'clock Central Time. We're going to be chatting about all kinds of things. I've been reading through Mark's book, No Beauty and the Beast, somewhat in conjunction with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan. And, you know, a number of you have written to me with your own perspectives on the relationship between the Rothschilds and both the Zionist movement and the Vatican. You know, this is an interesting discussion because, of course, some see in the present situation in the world more Vatican conspiratorial involvement than Jewish or vice versa. And the point of this conversation this morning, or mentioning this this morning, is that as I am reading through some of these books, there is some historical data which comes up, which I have been trying to make some notes on for further research as far as the relationship of these entities is concerned.
And suffice it to say, of course, that it, my own perspective on this is that the primary emphasis in terms of the great conspiracy that we believe is leading us toward a one-world government is one that is rooted in what is clearly mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, in the words of Jesus through the Apostle John to the church at Smyrna, where the church at Smyrna is warned to beware of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. That, of course, is the thesis of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book. But again, he has a number of things to say about the Illuminati and a number of things to say about the relationship of the Rothschilds to Zionism and to central banking and to the Vatican, which are very, very stimulating and fascinating. And Mr. Hitchcock mentions a series of books that go into this into even further detail. So as I continue to learn, and I will say to all of you this morning that this is a learning process for me. I am not an expert in this area. I have many of my own ideas. And I think just a contemporary look at the analysis of the present composition of the neoconservative movement in this country is absolutely instructive in regard to who the major player is behind all of these situations taking place, both in the Middle East and domestically. But by the same token, there quite clearly is a relationship between these various entities and players. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, in his unfolding of this historical chronology that goes back to 740 AD, certainly has a lot of things to say in regard to his own perceptions on this. And certainly, although I have a lot of respect for Mr. Hitchcock, I don't necessarily say that this has to be the last word on it. And as I'm reading through his book, which I have finished, I'm basically rereading it and going back and making some annotated notes. There are some things that he makes reference to that are well worth your time and mine in terms of further examination on this show and further conversation in regard to who and what it is that stands behind some of the central core events, not only of our time, but through all of human history. And as we undertake that learning process together, I do read, by the way, the various posts that you send me. I have to deal with so much email and so much research and so much reading and writing that sometimes it takes me a while to get back to you. And Jerry out there, who listens to me with great regularity, has sent a number of very fine URLs, and I'm still working my way through. And at some point, I will respond to some of his observations in private email communications with him, but have not yet reached that point because I'm still trying to process the information. So for those of you who do send things to me, including URLs and guest suggestions, I very definitely look at all of these and try to wind my way through to creating opportunities to have some of these people on the show. And some of those suggestions that have been made in the last couple of months are still sitting in my inbox. And in some cases, I have not yet made contact with the person in question. In other cases, I have done so and have received a contact back from that specific person, prospective guest, and something has been scheduled. Sometimes I've responded and they have not yet been able to get back to me. So this is something of a rather lengthy, laborious process, and I want everyone to know who does send things to me that I do take them seriously. I read them, I investigate them, at least in a cursory way, and try to get at some of the suggestions that are given to me in the way of books. Someone made a suggestion to me yesterday, by the way, who called the show, talking about a video called The Money Masters. I've not yet viewed it. There is a version of it that I guess you can get through Google Video that you can view online. I'm going to be trying to take a look at that this weekend, along with some other DVDs that have been sent to me. I have contacted the folks at the Money Masters to see if a representative of their organization wouldn't be willing to come on the show to discuss some of these things, up to and including the Federal Reserve Board. And when I hear back from them, I'll let you know. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press will join me at 9 a.m. When we get back, I'll take a look at a couple of significant news stories. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
We're back. This is Mark Dan Fox America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press will join me at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time to talk about things of importance both to you and to me in the days ahead. And it was sure a lot of fun having Willis Carto on the show yesterday, by the way, the founder of both the American Free Press and the Barnes Review. Mr. Carto had an awful lot of things to say. That I think were of profound significance both for the past and the present as well as for the future. And as we look this morning at this hate crimes bill, which passed the United States House, that Mr. Bush is threatening to veto, and that will now wind its way through in some form in the United States Senate, we have to take note of who the major players are in this hate crimes bill legislation in terms of wanting its passage and what the true ideological colors are of these folks. This is a leftist bill. This is an anti-Christian bill. This is a bill that is designed to destroy free thought and free speech in this country, and that will do nothing to truly criminalize true criminality. For presumably we already have the laws on the books to deal with things like murder and rape and assault, and so forth and so on. again, as I've said at the beginning of the show, I don't care what the demographics are of the perpetrators of crime or what the demographics are of the victims. If there is a crime that is committed, a true crime, one that we all recognize constitutionally, and in terms of our own federal and state legislation is truly a criminal act, then let's prosecute it as a criminal act and don't be worried about the sexual orientation or the race or the gender or the religious orientation of those involved. There's a crime that's been committed. The people, person or persons who've committed the crime should be dealt with and dealt with in the harshest manner possible, consistent with the law. That's why we don't need this hate crimes legislation. And the people who are trying to get at the bottom of this whole business are telling us, and I think absolutely with great reasonability, that this has nothing to do with crime and fighting crime and protecting the victims of crime. It's an attempt to do what has already been done throughout Europe and also in Canada and also in Australia, and that is to make criminals of people who are simply exercising Jeffersonian free speech and free thought principles, particularly as it relates to legitimate criticism of some groups that the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith wants to make sure are never criticized in any way, sense, shape, or form in our world. And that includes the Jewish lobby, and it clearly includes the militant homosexual rights community and the abortion industry, just to name three. So this is what's behind this, folks. And the Democrat-oriented House of Representatives has passed H.R. 1592. It is now up to us to get it killed in the Senate. And ultimately, despite the fact that he is our opponent, he is our adversary in so many ways, George W. Bush in this circumstance is doing the right thing by threatening a veto. This legislation is absolutely dangerous. It will continue to fundamentally alter the character of this country if it does pass and if the president does not exercise his prerogative to veto this bill. So let's keep an eye on it. In conjunction, by the way, with a terrible piece of legislation that Mr. Bush signed in 2004. And this is called the Global Anti-Semitism Act, the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act is, I guess, the official name of it. It was signed into law on October the 16th of 2004. This is an example of where the president made an absolutely critical error in signing this, because this act establishes a special department within the U.S. State Department to monitor global anti-Semitism, which is to report annually to Congress. This act defines a person as being anti-Semitic if they purport any of the following 14 beliefs, which I read on the show a day or two ago. When Mark Lynn comes on, we'll take a look at it again. But Mr. Bush needs to understand something. The rationale for vetoing this hate crimes bill is the same rationale that should have caused him to veto the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act on October, going all the way back to October the 16th, 2004. The fact that he signed that legislation merely whetted the appetite of the usual players in this process to push it to the next level with hate crimes legislation. So we need to remind Mr. Bush of that. That while on the one hand it's laudable that he wants to veto this H.R. 1592 if and when it passes the Senate in some form, we need to also say to Mr. Bush that, hey, what you signed into law on October the 16th, 2004 was an absolute catastrophe, and because we did not confront this situation and you did not confront this situation on October the 16th, 2004, we now face the next level in the process of incrementalism that is so consistent with the way that the far left operates in this country and the way that the Israeli lobby operates. There's something else in regard to this whole issue of the hate crimes bill, and that is that once more we see the absolutely untenable character of the alliance between the Christian right and the Jewish lobby in America. This is an alliance, folks, that has so many internal and external contradictions that it's really hard to know where to begin. But where we need to begin is in emphasizing these contradictions to as many people as we can, so that over time, hopefully, that alliance will begin to crack. And as that alliance begins to crack, it seems to me that this will have a couple of positive implications and consequences. One, is that maybe, just maybe, we will have a different foreign policy from the one that we presently have in the Middle East, which is leading us toward a global catastrophe and a global cataclysm. The other thing is that as this alliance cracks, more and more Christians will hopefully see the extent to which so many of their people in leadership have deceived them on the whole issue of the Jewish lobby. And we will begin to see more clearly as Christians and as Americans who and what it is that stands behind and is the driving force behind most of the left-wing collectivism that we've seen manifesting itself in our country in these last 50 or 60 years. To the extent that that becomes clear, we will see the Christian right, the real Christian right, by the way, and the America First folks having a much better perspective on the nature of the enemy and how to fight it. An example of the totally untenable character of this alliance is found in a piece that is posted today, Friday the 4th of May, 2007, in the Jewish Daily Forward by a person named Rebecca Spence. The title of the article is, An Evangelical Firebrand Hooks Up with Federations, Liberals Speak Out. And here we have it again. John Hagee of San Antonio, Texas, at Cornerstone Church, is the subject of this article. And as I read through it this morning, you'll see just the extent to which the Jewish left understands what the Christian right, the real Christian right, should understand, and in some cases does understand, and that is that this alliance between the pro-Israel lobby and true Christianity in this country is a bogus alliance. It is an evil alliance. There are demonic implications to it. And Mr. Hagee has both of his feet in the middle of this mess and needs to be exposed on an ongoing basis. That is, from the left, what is accomplished today by Rebecca Spence at the Jewish Daily Forward in her article entitled, An Evangelical Firebrand Hooks Up with Federations, Liberals Speak Out. Here's the text of the article. Pastor John Hagee, the firebrand evangelical Christian minister from San Antonio, Texas, had thousands of pro-Israel activists standing, clapping, and chanting at this year's annual convention of the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. Hagee's virtuoso performance at the conference in March underscored his emergence as a linchpin in the growing political alliance between Jewish and evangelical pro-Israel activists. Less well known is that Hagee, who in February of 2006 founded the first Christian pro-Israel lobbying group entitled Christians United for Israel, is working to extend his influence beyond power centers in Washington to Jewish and evangelical communities across the country. In little more than a year since its inception, Mr. Hagee has managed, through his Christian Zionist group, with an almost entirely volunteer staff of 13 regional directors, 46 state directors, and more than 85 city directors, to host 40 dinners in cities nationwide, well attended by Jews and evangelicals alike. To date, the events, billed as Nights to Honor Israel, have raised more than $10 million for charitable causes in the Jewish state. Setting aside their initial skepticism and taking Hagee at his word that he is not out to convert them, the heads of local Jewish federations have supported, or at least attended, the dinners. If you search through Jewish stories around the U.S., a lot of us have pieces of personal memory where non-Jews were there for us, not because they had a hidden agenda, but because they believed it was the right thing to do, said Michael Kohani, the Israeli-born executive director of the Jewish Federation of the Sacramento Region. There is a strong aspect of Christians United for Israel in which they are the descendants of that ideological concept, according to Michael Kohani. Just as liberals have criticized AIPAC for giving Hagee the dais, they are now speaking out against the pastor's grassroots fundraising dinners. Most recently, a Democratic congresswoman from Minnesota, Betty McCollum, declined an invitation to attend an April 29th Night to Honor Israel in Brooklyn Park, a suburb of Minneapolis, citing what she called Hagee's extremism, bigotry, and intolerance. Critics complain that Hagee's hawkish, biblically-based views on Israel do not serve the Jewish state, and that his conservative domestic agenda, including opposition to gay marriage, abortion, and immigration, is squarely at odds with the liberal views of most American Jews. There's a typo in this article. Forgive me here, folks. Rabbi Jonathan Biach of Temple Beth El in Madison, Wisconsin, says that he doesn't like the fact that there is going to be, on the one hand, an insistence that Israel trade land for peace, because in that particular situation, he sees that as a very critical formula. The bottom line for Rabbi Jonathan Biach of Temple Bethel in Madison, Wisconsin, is the fact that Hagee's organization would like to exacerbate tensions in the Middle East so it will lead to Armageddon. Biach is among a handful of Reform rabbis who are opting out of the Federation's warm embrace of Christians United for Israel. Over the past year, heated discussions over whether or not to participate in Hagee's events have set the internet listserv for Reform rabbis ablaze. Biach spoke out against the alliance with Christian Zionists in a March 23rd sermon to his 700-family congregation after he saw an ad in his local paper stating that a night to honor Israel was set to take place in Madison. In his address, Biach also expressed concern over what he views as Hagee's anti-Muslim rhetoric broadcast in speeches on the pastor's website and elucidated in his books. In Sacramento, California, the city's largest Reform synagogue, Congregation B'nai Israel, also declined to participate in its local Christians United for Israel event, which took place last September. Moreover, several mid-level donors withdrew their financial support for the local Jewish Federation as a result of its involvement with the area's Night to Honor Israel. The partnership is something that everybody in the Jewish community had an easy time accepting, Kohani said, or did not have an easy time accepting. But it was just something we had to take the heat for, quote-unquote. The evenings are designed to educate evangelicals, who number about 75 million in the United States, on what Hagee sees as a biblical imperative to support Israel with political action and open pocketbooks. In most cases, in addition to the representatives of the local Jewish Federation, the events draw a sampling of Jews in the community who are curious to know what motivates their newfound allies. The recent Night to Honor Israel, held outside of Minneapolis, raised $100,000. In Sacramento, about 900 guests gave a total of $25,000. The most lucrative evening, folks, for those of you who are here in San Antonio, Texas, listening to me this morning, the most lucrative evening held in October in Hagee's hometown of San Antonio reaped $7 million. $7 million. The funds sometimes flow directly into the coffers of the Jewish federations. This past summer, when philanthropic efforts were focused on raising wartime aid for Israel's embattled northern region, $1 million of the money raised in San Antonio was donated to the Jewish Federation of Greater Houston for the Israel Emergency Campaign. Another $3 million went to an orphanage in the Galilee, and $1 million was donated to Nefesh Be'ed Nefesh, an Israeli not-for-profit organization that helps Jews settle in Israel. Hagee and his wife Diana were recognized by the National Body of Federations, the United Jewish Communities, as honorary chairs of the $350 million emergency campaign. The senior religious leader of the 18,000-member Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Hagee is also the author of several books on what is known as End Days Theology. His most recent book, Jerusalem Countdown, depicts a scenario in which Iran and a coalition of Islamic countries led by Russia will unleash a nuclear attack on Israel, leading to the ultimate battle of Armageddon. According to Hagee, this battle is between what he terms the Islamo-fascists and the Christians and Jews, and it's already upon us and will entail the loss of countless Israeli lives. This is where liberal Jews run for the hills. Hagee's political views come straight from a literal interpretation of the Bible, which includes the belief that all of Israel and the Palestinian territories was promised by God to the Jews. According to this view, laid out in Jerusalem Countdown, there is no room for negotiation with the Palestinians, whom Hagee lumps together with all other Arabs, even those living in America, as Islamists acting on a Quranic mandate to slaughter infidels, and certainly no room to withdraw from the West Bank in exchange for a peace accord. For 25 years, Hagee has been fundraising for the Jewish state through his television ministries and through his own Night to Honor Israel. Planned annually with help from Arye Scheinberg, a San Antonio Orthodox rabbi. The two first met in 1981 when Hagee approached Jewish leaders in Texas to communicate his support for Israel's bombing of the Osirak nuclear reactor in Iraq. While most rebuffed Hagee, it was Scheinberg who implored the Jewish community to give him a chance to prove that his agenda was not to proselytize. Since that time, the two men have developed a close personal friendship and traveled to Israel together on multiple occasions, even praying side by side at the Western Wall. Scheinberg says that he considers Hagee like a brother, adding that his own political positions, both on Israel and on domestic issues, are largely in line with the pastor's. The board of Hagee's organization includes other prominent Christian conservatives, including the Reverend Jerry Falwell, founder of the Moral Majority, and Gary Bauer, the former president of the Family Research Council. The organization's executive director, David Brog, a Jewish political operative who last worked as Republican Senator Arlen Specter's chief of staff, said that the domestic policy agenda of his group's leadership should not be seen by Jewish liberals as an obstacle to forming a pro-Israel coalition. Quote, "We are crystal clear that we are a single-issue organization," unquote, said Brog, who is a relative of former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak and is also one of the Christian Zionist group's full-time staff members. Christians United for Israel doesn't speak on the life issue or the church-state issue, Brog said. If you want to work with us on Israel and very vociferously disagree with some of our board members on other issues, that's fine. Some liberals, however, counter that bolstering religious conservatives in any way is a bad idea. We'll dissect this article a little bit when we come back. This is Rebecca Spence's piece today at the Jewish Daily Forward entitled, "An Evangelical Firebrand Hooks Up with Federations and Liberals Speak Out." We'll be back with Mark Glenn at 9 a.m. Stay tuned.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel or Jeff Bennett help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
We're back. This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Public Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press joined me at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time to talk about some of the most important news stories of the day from a perspective that you're obviously not going to get in corporate media. That was why it was so important, I think, to have Willis Carto on yesterday to get his take on things. Mr. Carto founded the American Free Press and, of course, the Barnes Review. And at a later point this morning, we will again emphasize some of the contact points where people can get a hold of those publications if they so desire. This is our pledge drive, which starts today, by the way, here at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We need your support. Just as AFP needs it, Republic Broadcasting Network needs it for all of the obvious reasons. We are the only game in town, folks, when it comes to responsible alternative points of view in electronic transmissions in the format that we know as radio. If you look at what AFP does in publicizing RBN in the very back of the American Free Press and look at the great schedule that John Stadtmiller has put together for shows on this network, it's imperative that those of you who listen to these shows and who support us and who rely upon us as your lifeline to the correct slant of the news, give to the extent that you can possibly do it. You can contact us at www.republicbroadcasting.org for that purpose. You can give us a call toll-free at 1-800-724-2719, or you can send us something through the mail. And the Republic Broadcasting office here in Round Rock, Texas, can be found at 1015 South Mays, Suite 100. That's 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. I'll repeat those again. On the World Wide Web, you can find us at www.republicbroadcasting.org. You can give us a call toll-free at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can also send us something in the mail by contacting the Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. It's going to be absolutely essential, folks, that we hear from you in the days ahead. But because you can tell, I think, as you look at what has happened with the passage of this hate crimes legislation in the United States House of Representatives, and as the drum beats for war in the Middle East begin to get louder, and as we see the full extent to which the Republicrats are all in on this same thing, hand in hand, in terms of inflicting upon the rest of us the destruction of the old republic, the only way that we can fight this is with the dissemination of legitimate information. And that means that whether we're talking about the Republic Broadcasting Network or we're talking about the American Free Press, these are the essential outreaches that you need to support in order that we might continue to stay in this hunt and to stay in this fight and to do it together. So today is the beginning of our pledge drive. And again, I'll underscore once again that you can contact us at www.republicbroadcasting.org in the World Wide Web. You can give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or send us something in the mail, Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays. That's 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. Use the same contact points that you would for our pledge drive. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org. That's the toll-free telephone number, which is 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can find the Republic Broadcasting Network as well at 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. We'll be back. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, the Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn will join us at 9 a.m. Stay tuned.